No, I've had it verified, Sean Bellegian. That is sun. That is sunshine. So that's nice. It's always nice to have sunshine, even when we don't necessarily expect it. You know what else is nice is we always like our conversations with Bill Ballinger, longtime political pundit. You can find him online and elsewhere as the publisher of the Ballinger Report. Bill, nice to catch up with you.
Great to be with you, Paul W.
It's been a while. I really respect your thoughts and your opinions. And I got to tell you, it's a very bizarre thing. I have still in my hand yesterday's Detroit News front page. Craig and Johnson ineligible for ballot, Election Bureau says. The best known and the wealthiest GOP gubernatorial hopefuls among five who reviewers say fell short of necessary valid signatures. This is unprecedented.
Absolutely. Nothing like it has ever happened. First of all, nothing like 10 candidates filing on the Republican side for governor had ever happened. broke the record set back in 1920 with 9 on the ballot. And guess what? There aren't going to be, apparently, 10 on the ballot because 5, half the field, have been thrown off, as you just pointed out. So the key date is tomorrow, Thursday, because that's when the Board of State Canvassers meet on all this, because right now this is not official. It looks like it's likely to be. And if so, there are only going to be 5 candidates on the ballot. 3 of them, I would say, are in a good position to win the nomination, any one of the 3, and we could go into that if you wanted.
Yeah, I do want to go into that. I want to say, if that happens tomorrow, if the State Board of Canvassers say, yeah, this is the way it is, they didn't have enough signatures, we're going to have, for the first time that I'm aware of in such a big way and such a big race, what is really kind of a technicality out of the hands of the candidate, although they should have gone back and rechecked, I suppose. I'm not sure. But is there any resource or anything they can do to combat this finding if it, in fact, finds tomorrow that 2 of the front runners can't even run?
Well, they can take it to court if they want to, but one of the 5 who has been unfrocked, so to speak, Mike Brown, state policeman, has already said, I'm out, I'm done. This is an outrage what happened. He doesn't say I did anything necessarily himself personally wrong, but he was defrauded by the people that he and his campaign had paid to get the signatures, and he said, I withdraw from the race. So that probably sets the tone for the other 4. It seems to me if they're guilty of the same misfeasance or whatever you want to call it that Mike Brown's campaign was, they're going to have to just accept this verdict, and they're going to be off the ballot.
Though I may be closer than I ever have been before to agreeing with conspiracy theorists, I've never been a conspiracy theorist, but like I said, sometimes it's getting closer and closer to that. Is this the ultimate political dirty trick? Could we ever find out that there were Democrats behind putting these people up to doing the bad job that they had to go out of their way to do to falsify these records and knowing that they would destroy these people if anyone ever found out?
Well, supposedly, the Elections Division of the Secretary of State has referred all this to the Attorney General for possible prosecution. So if there is prosecution, and, you know, there may be people doubting whether Dana Nessel can carry on an objective, impartial investigation and prosecution.
Yeah.
But despite those cynics, that could happen, and this probably would come out at a trial exactly what happened, whether there are Democrats behind it or whether it just happened because there was so much money out there available to these circulators, and they literally just got bought off and completely succumbed to greed and decided to pull this outrageous stuff.
Bill, I can't imagine anyone succumbing to greed or money to do something bad. I can't even imagine that happening. And here's the other thing, though, it is the way you're explaining it. All of this would happen after the election's over. I mean, it can't happen that quickly.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's not going to save these people now. Look, I mean, the thing, the that really kills me is, why didn't these candidates, five of them, one of whom, Perry Johnson, was touting himself as the quality guru. I mean, this guy is supposed to be an expert on quality performance. And he couldn't oversee his own petition gathering effort to get on the ballot as governor.
Man.
I mean, five candidates should have said halt at some point in the whole process.
Let me we're going to run out of time. Who's going to be the Republican? Who's going to be representing the Republican
Party? Well, I mean, I think right now it's going to be Tudor Dixon, who is a businesswoman from West Michigan, endorsed now by the DeVos family. She needs money, and she's going to get it, I think. And Kevin Rinke, who is the Metro Detroit auto dealer family, and then also Garrett Soldano, who's a chiropractor from the Kalamazoo area and who has a real grassroots following. I think those are the three to watch.
Can any of those three beat Governor Gretchen Whitmer?
Yes, I think they could. I think Tudor Dixon, all along, in my mind, has been the strongest possible candidate against Gretchen Whitmer. She's a woman. She takes the whole gender issue off the table. She's very articulate. She's a TV, mainstream, online, live stream commentator, and she has a background in the steel business as a salesperson. Very impressive. So she's got a little bit of everything. She's a 45-year-old mother of four, breast cancer survivor. She's got a great story to tell, and I think she'd be a great candidate against Gretchen Whitmer.
Bill Ballinger, longtime political pundit, highly regarded and respected, publisher of The Ballinger Report. Online you can find it, and I had no idea what kind of fallout there'd be when Mr. DeVos endorsed Tudor Dixon on this very show.